reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" He said to them in reply, "Because knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven has been granted to you, but to them it has not been granted. To anyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. From anyone who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because they look, but they do not see. They hear, but they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You shall indeed hear, but not understand. You shall indeed look, but never see.' Fat is the heart of this people. They will hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted, and I heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but didn't see it, and to hear what you hear, but didn't hear it." The Gospel of the Lord. Why do you speak to the crowd in parables? It was an honest question on the part of the apostles. When Jesus was instructing the apostles straight on, he never used parables. Why do you use parables with the crowd? Sometimes when we think about that question centuries later, we can say, we like stories. When Jesus uses a story, we like it. It's a little bit more interesting. We can get into the details. How can't we be gripped by the parable of the prodigal son? Which gets us in, touches us at a very, very deep level. But Jesus wasn't using parables just simply because he thought stories would be a better pedagogical tool in order to grip the crowds. First reason why he used parables is so that people wouldn't understand. Wouldn't understand everything. They might grasp a little, but they wouldn't understand everything. Why would Jesus open his mouth and preach in a way so that others wouldn't understand? Because it would expose right off the bat whether they cared. Today, we get the middle of a 3-day cycle, which was really one episode of the parable of the sower and the seed. So Jesus goes out and talks about this parable of the sower and the seed. First question on the part of those who, as we sang in the gospel verse, were little ones seeking the mysteries of the kingdom, living in the mysteries of the kingdom, the apostles. First question they ask is, why are you using parables at all? And then second question, explain to us the meaning. Tell us what this means. We don't get it. On Sunday, we heard 3 parables. One was about the sowing of weeds and wheat. The other was about the mustard seed. The third was about the leaven. Mustard seed and leaven aren't too confusing. But as soon as Jesus was done speaking, the apostles went up to him and said, "Tell us what the parable of the weeds and the wheat means. We don't know what point you're trying to make." They had a real hunger. If I came out and I was given this homily in Latin today, would you go over to Deacon Leo and say, "Please tell me what he's saying. I want to hear it." Would you just say, "How long is he going to go until we get to the action and I can understand it again?" A couple nights ago at this priest's workshop that I'm doing all week, they showed a movie of the prelate of Opus Dei with some priests in which he was giving a conference in Spanish. And the director of the program thought most priests understood Spanish. He was terribly mistaken about that. But as soon as the movie started to be shown, this half-hour sort of get-together, there were two priests who came immediately over to me and said, Roger, can you please translate what the bishop is saying? And I was very happy to do that. And then once the director recognized that there was a translation going on, he looked around and he just asked the question, how many don't understand Spanish? And 3/4 of the priests in the room's hands went up. But there were only two that cared enough to come and say, please tell us what he's saying. The rest were just kind of sitting there, biding their time. If I were given this homily in Latin, would you try to figure out what was being said? That's the first thing that Jesus teaches us about why he uses parables. So that somebody with faith would come up and say, tell us what you mean. Because if they didn't care what it meant, if it just went out through the other ear, it already proved that they had hardened soil. It's the first reason. The second reason is the reason why they had hardened soil. The even deeper revelation that Jesus' use of parables would bring about is because they didn't want to convert. They didn't want to change their lives. They thought everything was fine. In today's answer, Jesus says, quoting the prophet Isaiah, the heart of this people is fat, surrounded by a whole bunch of things that prevents it from loving. They'll hardly hear with their ears because they've closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, because there are reasons that the heart understands that even the mind can't. And be converted and I heal them. Jesus, of course, came into the world to take away the sins of the world. He wanted everybody to be converted. But he was specifically using a method that would bring them to conversion if they were open to it. No matter what language he spoke, no matter how crisp and clear his teaching, if they didn't want to be converted, it wouldn't matter. The use of parables would bring that about, to see one if they cared and expose the motivation for why they care, because they are hanging on his word with good soil and they want it to bear fruit, fruits of conversion. That's why Jesus spoke in parables. And it leads us to say, it should lead us to say, do I have that type of hunger for the word of God? Do I want to understand what Jesus means? Am I the type of person who comes on up and says, I don't get it, Jesus. I want to get it, but I don't get it. Help me. Am I the type of person who today, if there was something in the gospel I didn't understand, that I'd go to a Google search engine and type in, please explain to me Matthew 13, 10 to 17, I don't get it. Or to go to someone else who might be able to answer. Are we hanging on these words? Or would it matter if I were speaking Chinese, if the gospel were proclaimed in Tagalog? Would it matter? It's point number one. Point number two is the great gratitude that we should have when we're young in spirit. Jesus said to his closest followers at the end of today's gospel, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. So many long to see what you see but didn't see it and hear what you hear but didn't hear it. Jesus said to us a couple days ago, there's a far greater than Jonah or the Queen of Sheba or the temple here. Jesus is here explaining us the truths. But in order for us to really bear fruit from this great gift, we need to be capable of asking those questions so that we can understand that word and the word can go deeper so that it doesn't remain at the superficial rocky soil. Go deeper and ultimately change our lives, and through changing our lives, converting us, changing the whole trajectory of the world. That's what happened in the life of St. Lawrence of Brindisi. St. Lawrence of Brindisi was a young, smart man preparing to be a lawyer. And then what happens? Transfixed by the word of God. And he wanted to understand the Word of God. He was reading it and reading it and reading it. His Latin was fine. But he didn't think that he was getting enough. So what did he do? He learned Hebrew and Greek so that he would be able to understand what Jesus was really saying better, what all the revelation of the Old Testament pointed to, what the New Testament was glossing on the gospel. He wanted to understand it all. So he worked like crazy to master these languages so that precisely he could. And then he internalized that word. And then what happened next? As a priest, he was sent up to Germany, and there were all types of trouble in Germany after the Protestant Reformation. All types of false ideas. But with that word of God bursting within him, up he went. He brought many back to the faith. And his teaching, based on that word, was so clear that he was later named a doctor of the church, someone truly learned in the things that matter most. We might not have the intellectual capability of a St. Lawrence of Brindisi, but we should have that hunger.